The castle seemed to grow from the cliffs that cupped the shoreline. Its jagged peaked turrets pierced the rain-heavy clouds above. Its windows were gaping mouths and gored-out eyes. Between the slate-grey cliffs and the smoke-grey sky and the churning grey sea and the ghost-grey mist, it was a grey place indeed. It was so thoroughly grey that a traveller who lost his way could be blinded by it, by the overwhelming greyness that permeated everything, erasing vision entirely. Stay too long in this grey world, the legend went, and risk your eyes turning grey too. Risk your skin growing ashen. Risk your hair dulling to iron. Yes, it was a grey world. Sitting upon the broad back of his night-black steed, Prince Emery of Harding scanned the vast grey scene around him. There was the beach, quiet waves lapping upon the shoreline like a kitten at its dish of cream, the tameness and gentle repetition belying the fierceness Emery knew the great sea had hidden within it. There beneath his horse's hooves was a short, pebbled beach, peppered with stones of all shades of grey, from nearly black to nearly white. Emery and his steed, whom he called Reynard, had emerged onto this beach from a dense forest, through which there was no trail. Emery had been obliged to lead his horse much of the way, slashing a path for them with his sword. As Emery had grown closer to the edge of the forest, the trees he encountered grew harder and harder until finally he found that they were no longer made of wood at all, but rather petrified to stone. These trees even Emery's loyal, lethal sword had been powerless against, a fact that ignited a flame of anger in his chest. When he struck it, a tree should fall. That is what trees do. That is what they had always done. Trees. It was their duty. But these last trees would not fall, and when Emery struck them with his sword, an awful clang rang out, and the impact of the blow vibrated up through Emery's sword arm and rattled all of his bones. Not even a dent. Unacceptable. Yet he had been forced to accept it, had been forced to unsaddle Reynard, so the horse was narrow enough to pick a path through the trees that refused to get out of their way. No matter, Emery had told himself, as he flung the saddle back onto Reynard, as he fastened the girth, horse grunting, as he hefted himself into the saddle once again. He walked the horse along the beach, surveying, and Reynard picked a path through the pebbles. Emery would punish the forest on the dragon's flesh. For he knew it was the dragon's blame that the trees had turned to grey stone, just as it was the dragon's blame that this part of the world was misted dark with unspilled rain, and the dragon's blame that the sea was slate grey instead of blue-green. And the dragon's blame that the unblinking eye of the sun was dulled by a cataract of grey. When the dragon was slain, if he managed to slay it, this part of the world would brighten again, and Emery would be the lightbringer as well as king. He hated the dragon. It was that simple, and his hate was pure, like cleansing fire. He breathed in and out his hatred as he sat upon his steed, as his eyes scanned the cliffs in front of him, searching for a way to climb them, though he knew already that there would be no easy path. Who had built this castle into these cliffs? It was a mystery without an answer. Had they built it, or had it been born? Some wizened elders claimed that the castle emerged from the craggy cliffs over millennia, growing a fraction of an inch a year, surfacing so slowly that its progress was imperceptible.